I woke up, the Lord, the Spirit, brought this song back to my memory, and then we did find some other words, but I thank the Lord that He's our healer.
Believe in divine healing, don't we? We still believe that God heals today, and this morning we just are always encouraged in the Word to keep going. Whatever happens in our life, we just keep going. Sometimes we're knocked down and think we can't get up, but we get up. We just keep going. That's the tenacity of the grace of God, where we're not just strengthened, we are made strong. And, you know, you can pump a little iron and kind of get thunder and lightning going for yourself. But when we are made strong, it's a permanent thing. It's something that we don't have to just practice once in a while. Christ becomes our strength. And today we're strong in Him. But I want to give a little dose of what God gave Joshua. Because if we need strength and courage, it's today. Amen? It's today that we need this dose. This isn't a vaccine that God gave Joshua. This wasn't a Band-Aid that He put over a situation. This was something that He gave him a dose of God's Word. And I always think of Dr. Moots, because whenever I give an example of something that might be medical, this is exactly true. If you get a prescription, and today this is my prescription, that I need every day. Sometimes it's what we used to be able to say, QID. You can't say that anymore. You have to say four times a day. But this is something that we need every moment of every day. And this prescription, I don't ever want to finish. I want to continue. You know, with an antibiotic, if you take an antibiotic and it's scheduled for 7 days and you only take it for three and you feel better, and you're supposed to continue that until completion. And, you know, a lot of God's wonderful people haven't taken this prescription to completion. Something happens and we come up against something in life and people just quit. I can't do it. It's too hard. And God is calling us today to get this dose of what he gave Joshua. There's something so real about the promises of God. And when Joshua was in training, which I'm still in training, we've done some things, but we're all still in training. Joshua had risen up under the mantle of Moses, and something had happened in his life. You know, when you're in training for anything, if it's sports, there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some tired moments, some sore moments, some frustrating moments when he didn't make that goal or make that home run, whatever it was or is. But in training is where we learn. This is the depths of real training. And you know, I told a kid in our church a long time ago that I was in it for the long haul. And I could tell you story after story of being in it for the long haul, not just saying, well, Lord, if you do this for me today, then I'll serve you for a couple more years. No, I'm in it for the long haul until Jesus comes, which again could be before this service is over. And we have to have that expectation. But in training, we're going to be tested and we're going to be tried. But we're going to have something that God assures us of every day. So I want you to turn to the book of Joshua. And this really not only deals with a battle, but it deals with stamina. And I think, you know, if we ever take the grace of God for granted, then we're not going to really appreciate the value of the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he became my value. I value him this morning, but the difference is he values me. He sees me and he values me. But when we look at the Word of God and we begin to see these different characters, and I think in the doctrine class, it just kind of been this pop-up character study that people, unsung heroes come up and all of a sudden we're doing character studies on their lives. But you know, God works his word the same in each one of us, even though all of our experiences are different. And I don't want to preach like Brother Hawkins. I don't want to preach like Grandpa Schaefer. I don't want to be like somebody else unless his name is Jesus. That's who I've been called to be. When we first started out, people were like, oh, he preaches just like Brother Schaefer. And I'm like, no, that's not what God wants. Because there's a lot of people out there that are just kind of carbon copy of somebody. And his name isn't always Jesus. So we have to be careful. But all these things that are happening, we're going to read and compare some of the things that God did. When we compare what God promised Joshua, he did for him, he'll do that today. You believe that the Old Testament really confirms the power of God, but it was missing the element of the risen Savior. Power of God was just the same, but that element of Jesus Christ raised was different. So he's going to do the same thing, but in a much more sort of way. In a much more sort of way. When Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again, that became the finality of what our life should be about, that risen Savior. So in verse 1 of Joshua 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. And he began to explain some things, some of the instructions that he was to receive. And I always say that instruction has to come before construction. You have to know this building plan before God begins to work in you, or you just look like a stick house all your life. There's nothing finished. There's nothing that's completed. So Moses was gone, and so God told Joshua to arise. But he didn't just say, get up. We could have everybody stand right now. Well, that'd be nice and stretch your legs, but God wants to give us instruction. Where are we headed? You know, I believe that we need a plan, but we also need faith. We have to have an idea where God is taking us. So it was very clear for Joshua. God said, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. This was probably scaring him to death. And if you've ever had the Lord give you an instruction like, you got the, you know, I'm on channel 3, you need to be on channel 4 because you got the wrong guy. When my dad asked us to take the church in Bakersfield, I said, Dad, I can't even spell Isaiah. That's how I felt. Very insignificant. We'd been doing it for 10 years, but then it was going to step up being under the mantle of someone, and then all of a sudden being the lead person. It was pretty devastating in the flesh. But this is where God had Joshua. But he began to give him the promises. And the thing that God began to give Joshua first was that safety net, that he would always be there. You know, we need to understand that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. He'll never abandon us. We'll never be so isolated that we're completely alone. And there may be days where you get lonely, but you'll never alone. That's an amazing thought, that we may get lonely, but we're never alone. And we can be lonely in a crowd. But he told him, every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. God began to give him instruction, but it wasn't just go do your thing. He gave him a solid guideline. He gave him an outline. He gave him territory. He gave him boundaries. And I think children of God today, much like children, normal children, regular children, need boundaries. And we're not seeing a lot of boundaries today. God's children need boundaries. We need, in a non-legalistic way, to say, okay, we're going to go here, but we're not going any further. This is where God has us. And you know, there's a lot out there in the church today. There's a lot that you can partake in, and it's still called church. But there's some boundaries that we see in the Word of God that don't allow us to go there, don't allow us to go that far. And I can hear everyone at home shouting amen. I hear two of you in here. But in verse 5, look at this comparison. In verse 5, he says, thou shalt not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is something that is an echo of a victory that Joshua was going to be able to walk in. He was not only going to echo this, but Joshua was going to take this and become the voice of that one that was crying and was calling out to the people of God, standing before them. And God said, in comparison, the same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So we could just spend all morning going back and seeing how God was with Moses. See, the difference was God was with Moses since birth. He protected him from birth on. Do you realize that the hand of God has been on you since birth? And then when we accept him as Savior, the promises all just flood in our soul. All those things that God said he would do. And as what he was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. These sound like words that Jesus said. These sound like words, if we could fast forward and just say, okay, how does Paul take this? How does Jesus, take this. They said the same thing, but Paul walked in the promise that Joshua wasn't going to walk in. Jesus was the promise, and we walk in that promise today, not to fail us or forsake us. We could take a person. Maybe there's a standout person in your life spiritually that you could say, man, this person walked with God. I want to be like that one. Well, we have to be careful because there's a lot of that today. In Bible school, I said, let's be careful to follow Paul. Well, first Jesus said, follow me, period, right? Follow me. Paul comes along and he says, follow me, comma, as I follow Christ. If we hear a man today out of the pulpit saying, follow me, do what I say, I would run. Get out. That's not what the scripture says. We have to follow Christ in his word and the power of his word. But then God begins to instruct Joshua. He gives him some real basic instruction that cannot be basic when you get into it. Verse 6, the first thing, the main instruction, and I think every one of us could say, you know what, I need that same instruction today. I need that same word of God to come alive in me. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong. What is this strength? With this strength and good courage, it equals an inheritance. Because the rest of the verse says, be of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Now, we can ask and have a land promise all day long. There are a lot of people teaching that we'll inherit the earth. Well, I don't feel like we're going to be groundbound. When the trumpet sounds, we're going to be gone. And so this inheritance that he was speaking to Joshua about, this was something for them in that point in time. But for me today, when the Lord says, be strong and of good courage, it's going to equal an inheritance for you. My inheritance is not here. My inheritance is in heaven. And when I become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and I take courage and I'm under his wing and I abide in him, that equals an inheritance for me in that heavenly realm. And so we've got to see these things for where they are. This was going to be a great asset for Joshua. This was going to be a great victory for Joshua. But did he just talk about it? No, he began to live it. He began to walk it out in his life. When we say, let's be strong in the Lord, it's going to mean something. It's got to take something. You've got to get up tomorrow and say, you know what? I feel a little weak in this area. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And there's still nothing too hard for him. There's still nothing that God can't do. That's why with all of this that's happening today, we have to stay strong in the Lord. Your body may be weak, but your spirit man can remain strong in the Lord. It's going to mean something. The second thing when he said in verse 7, he kind of narrowed it down. He said, only. If we could get only this, if we could just come to this moment in our life as we walk with God where it would be the first thing and the only thing. If that's all we thought about, everything else would come into place. He said, only be strong and very courageous. This is something, the second instruction that he gave Joshua, when he told him these two things, it equaled staying the course. When we're strong in him and very courageous, there are things that happen. And like Pam said again this morning, we may be preaching to the choir, but we've lived some things and we know what it is to be strong in the Lord. We know what it is to keep that courage of God's word alive in our lives. And it's just going to mean that we stay the course. In Joshua, it says that you might observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you prosper wherever you go. If we stay strong in the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's going to take something. We can't just say it. We have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay strong, but when I don't see that next step out in front of me, I'm going to go ahead and take it. When by faith I can't see what God's really doing in my life, when I can't see what's happening all around me, and you tell me to take that step, I'm going to take that step, because on that rock, Christ Jesus, I will land. There'll be something there to uphold us, and it will be that mighty rock of Jesus Christ. When we observe all those things, we're going to stay the course. We're not going to say, well, we're in today and out tomorrow. This isn't a roller coaster relationship with the Lord. This is something that we're walking with Him day and night. We're staying the course. We're running to win Him. When we do these things, we have courage. When the Word of God is built up in us, then we remain strong. It's not like a balloon that you can just deflate. This lasts and stays. God's Word has staying power in our spirit man. That's why we have to know Him and know His Word. In verse 8, he talks about the book of the law. He talks about these things that need to not depart out of your mouth. When you meditate on them day and night, to observe them and to do, you see, we're observing the Word of God today that is already done. Jesus finished that work of Himself at Calvary. So now when we observe the Word of God, we're observing a finished work of Calvary that God has worked in each one of us. He said, you're going to have good success. Now, everyone has a different definition of success. Many people will just immediately go to money, means success. The success I have is my walk with God. That is success in my life. And when my way prospers, I'm dwelling in Him. I'm living in Him. God's going to supply all our need. I mean, we've got story after story of how God supplies. Those are testimonies. And we may carve out some time for testimony in the future. But these are things that God has done, and He's going to take care of us. He's going to prosper us. There has never been a righteous forsaken. God has never seen any of us begging bread. He's never seen the righteous go forsaken. Then in verse 9, He says, haven't I commanded you? And I think sometimes, and Joshua wasn't a good listener, but you know how we read the Word of God and then we go back and read it and we read it again and we can hear something else. Sometimes it's like neon that just illuminates. Sometimes you see something so different and it just comes alive. In verse 9, He said, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Now, I don't think that Joshua had early Alzheimer's. This was an affirmation of God's work in him. I don't mind the Lord telling me every day, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong and be of good courage. This equals no fear. This one, He said, if you're strong and good courage, He goes, don't be afraid. Oh man, we could go for weeks on not being afraid. Because what does fear bring? Torment. But that perfect love, when we're strong and of good courage, that perfect love casts out fear. So we want to stay strong and of good courage in Him so that we don't live in fear. There are people living in such fear today that is just sad. I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm talking about living in real fear. Now, I believe in wisdom. I believe in doing the things God's called us to do. But I do not believe in living in fear. And when fear comes, and I have had fear grip me. We had a thunderstorm when we got here. And there was some real fear. And I just dropped to the side of the bed. And I said, Lord, You've got to take this fear because this house feels like it's coming apart. There are things that happen in life that bring real fear. I'm not talking about just being afraid of the dark. Things that grip you and torment. But he said, don't be afraid. It sounds so easy if you say it fast. Just don't be afraid. Well, you know what? This fear, we have to learn how to come against fear. We have to, and if you have to rehearse not being afraid, applying the word of God to a situation, don't be embarrassed. Begin to act it out. Begin to work that thing in your life, because we need to not be afraid. He said, and don't be dismayed. Dismay is just losing courage. All of this that God wants to build up and work in us, you know, an event can feel like an explosion or like you've imploded. But God said, don't let this fear come in. Don't let this dismay cause you to be so upset that you lose heart, that you lose the courage that I'm building up in you. Well, Joshua began to move. And there are things that Joshua did when he responded. Now, you can hear the word of God and just go, that was nice. That was a good little talk. Or you can respond to the word. Now, hopefully today, you that are here and you that are listening at home, you can say, you know what? I'm going to start agreeing with the word of God more than I ever have before. I'm just going to go and say, you know what? I need to be strong and of good courage. I'm not discounting the situation. Everything around us is still real, but how is it imploding me? How is it getting into my heart? I want to be strong in the Lord. Joshua in verse 10 began to move in this courage. You see, after God began to work in his life, something clicked and Joshua responded. There are too many Christians today that never respond with an activity level in the Word of God. We had a pastor from India that used to come and he'd say, we don't want to do the high bye. That means you come to church, hi everybody, and you do your thing, bye everybody, nothing changes. Something has to change. If we don't respond to the Word of God, and trust me, there's enough word that goes over this pulpit that God's people need to respond and move out in that faith. So Joshua began to respond. In verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people. He began to get strong and courageous. The first thing he said, pass through the host. Pass through the host with instruction. He began to instruct those that were under him the way he had been instructed from the one that was over him. And this is really how it has to work. You know, there are too many times where we don't follow the instruction of the Word of God, and we can get in trouble if we're not following his word. But if you're not strong and of good courage first, then you won't follow what God is calling us to do. Pass through the host and company of the people. The first thing he said, pass. Let's pass through. As God moves through his people today, salvation is the same for all who believe. You know, that measure of faith, that little mustard seed, not the mustard pod, but just that seed of faith, is all it takes for salvation. But it takes something more to grow. Growth is a desire. When you think of an innumerable company, that's a lot of people, isn't it? I mean, I'm like trying to do the math. Oh, wait, we can't. That's a lot of people that we're going to see. And we know today there's a company that is innumerable. We can't count them. Just as saved as you and me. And that should be a blessing. That should be a comfort. Growth is something different. Growth comes from a desire to walk with God. I had a nurse one time that told me, all I need to know is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll be fine. I went, yeah, fine for that level. Fine for that area you've chosen to live. But if we choose to grow, it's going to take something. It's going to take a desire, and it's going to take what's called a cutting of the flesh. It's going to take the reckoning of the flesh to be dead and not come alive in our life and manifest himself. It's going to take that dedication and desire, and we have to want to know him. We have to want to have this growth in our life. And there are a lot of people that don't really want to know the Lord the way we can know him. They don't really want to have that relationship. This isn't religion. This is relationship. But every relationship is going to have a different level. But I want that relationship where I know him, where I really have a communication with him. So now that it's getting quiet in here, we'll move on. Then he said, prepare food supplies. Prepare. We're preparing right now, today. As today, as Jesus was raised up from the dead, so will we be. Now, there is a company that will go by way of the grave, but they've died in Christ. We had an elder that I said, you always had to be first, and she passed away. I said, there you go. She had to be first. She's going to rise first, first in everything. But we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the air. So we're preparing today. Now, if we're strong this morning and of good courage, we're going to have something that floods our spirit man, and it's called the love of God. That's shed abroad in our hearts by way of the Holy Ghost, the only way true love is spread. And we're going to begin to prepare. In Joshua's time, he was preparing food supplies because he saw something happening within 3 days. And this is something we're preparing, the bread of life for our lives, because there's an event coming. And I know it's all been skewed by the virus and pandemic, and there's a lot of distraction today, but we still need to prepare. And I'm not saying that I'm just preparing for me. I want to go be with the Lord when it's time, but I want to lead people to him in a desire and a growth beyond salvation, where there's something more that, you know, we were talking at breakfast the other morning. Grace is our incentive to run. Grace is something we've been given, not to just say, well, kind of done now. I can go do whatever I want. Party time. No, this isn't a license to sin. It's a freedom from sin so that we can serve a living Savior, so that we can walk with him and prepare. This 3 days is as Christ in the tomb. But then he says something else. Within 3 days, you shall pass over this Jordan. We're going to have these, it's past purpose or past prepare and pass over to possess. This is some real tongue twisters here. But this is what Joshua received. He said, you're going to pass over this Jordan, but then you're going to go in and possess the land. You know, we want to have this heavenly land for those who are looking for the Lord. There are people today that are running. There are wonderful, wonderful saved believers today that are running. But then there are those that are running to win. And then there are those that are running to win Christ. There's a big difference in the walk of the believer when we see our sight and set our sight and our affection on him, running to win Christ as bridegroom. There's a higher calling that we have today. Joshua was able to see a glimpse of it. He was landbound. He was groundbound. And God was showing him glimpses and types and things that he could possess. But you know, God has elevated our vision to see him in the heavenly realm. He said, you'll pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. All these things that God has done. We're still learning how rich we are in Christ. We're still learning of all we have in him. We're still finding out all those great and mighty things that God still wants to do for his people. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Don't be the one that says, well, like we did in, I think we got in trouble at Bible school because we did a gong show. Sorry, Brother Hawkins. We did a gong show. And if you remember the gong show, we had like actors and they came out and we had a rocking chair. And the type was, we were just going to rock our way to heaven. Well, that was, I thought it was a pretty good type because a lot of people are kind of taking the easy route. Well, this is something that we're doing, and God wants us to be active, prepare, plan, possess, all these things that are happening. It's still something that he's doing in us, but we have to take part. Turn to Philippians 3:14, because this is something that, you know, when you begin to study, you begin to see there's a real pressing that has to take place today. And I remember trying to find something else to preach about. And we would have people, my dad would be preaching the bride and would have people go home and try to like study it out so they couldn't find it. God would reveal it to their spirit. Just reveal it right to them. Start teaching the two creations and people go home because we had some that you know, didn't really understand grace. And they'd go home and start studying and they'd see it. All of a sudden that light would turn on. Well, you know, this is kind of how it is when you begin to study the Word of God. How can you not go to this place? Philippians 3:14, I press. Paul was in this place that Joshua was in, but it was in a different time zone. God was doing a work in Paul's life. God was doing a work in Joshua's life. God had done a work in Moses' life. But all of these things, you begin to pull them all forward. And look where Paul landed. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I hope we just haven't memorized that scripture. I hope we have let that become who we are and possess that scripture. Let's press toward the mark. The examples of how this works. My dad used to tell the story of Grandpa Sadbury on the plow in Oklahoma. And he was plowing. They didn't have big tractors. He had a mule, I think. And he would set his eye on something at the other end of the field. And they said that man plowed the straightest rows in the state of Oklahoma. Why? Because his eye was set on a mark. He had his focus. He had a vision that wasn't taken to the left or right, but it was always stayed on the mark. When we keep our eye on him, when we keep our vision and our visual acuity in the Word of God, there's a prize, and we begin to see a high calling. We begin to see that there's something more than just being saved today. There's something more, and it's called a prize. It's called the high calling of God, and it's in Christ Jesus. When I don't think that Joshua heard the call of the bride, but I think we can hear the call of the bride today. I think we can be in that place where we say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be very courageous. I know that things are still going to happen in life, but I choose today to be strong. I choose to be courageous. How do I achieve that? I get into God's word and allow him to reveal that to me. There's enough teaching that goes out for every believer to be stable, to be strong, to be courageous. But we have to desire growth. We have to want to say, Lord, I know that things have happened. The scripture just before that, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. What was he doing? He was having to process all those things that he had come from. And we can't compare our life to Paul. None of us lived the life that he did, thank God. But we still have things the enemy tries to bring in our mind, and we forget those things. I always think of my past being in a trash compactor. And when I hit the button of the Word of God, it goes, smashes all that down. So just hit the button of God's word. Let him work that trash compactor. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I guarantee you, if you live your life in the rearview mirror, you're looking at it. You're looking at stuff that's behind that the Lord says, forget. Press the button of his word. Let that trash compactor just press it down. And then we're able to see clearly. We're able to have that vision that God wants us to have.